Hey friends, welcome to the St. Mark City podcast. We pray that you are blessed and challenged as you listen to this message. God bless you.
I just want to talk to you today about grateful devotion. It's just going to come on the screen now. Grateful devotion is what God put on my heart to bring to you this very day. And when you look up the word devotion in the dictionary, it says religious fervor or piety, an act of prayer or private worship, a religious exercise or practice, the act of dedicating oneself to a cause, an enterprise, or an activity. It is the act of devoting oneself. It is the fact or state of being ardently dedicated and loyal. Devotion and the verb devote come from the act of taking a vow. In fact, the Latin verb vavere means to vow, and it's from vavere that we get the word devote. Devote implies faithfulness of a religious nature, and devoted refers to one's commitment to another through love and loyalty. So we might say that someone is devoted to a certain singer or to a certain band because they show love and loyalty to that singer and to that band. So there's so much there that we can understand about devotion, but it's about applying that devotion and understanding of devotion and expression of devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ, but also doing devotion as grateful devotion. Amen? No one was ever thrilled by grumbling devotion. No one was ever inspired by dutiful devotion. I come to church because I have to. I come to church because me ma made me. No one's inspired by that. No one goes, oh, hallelujah, you must really be walking close with the Lord. When we have grateful devotion, there's that sense of thankfulness and thanksgiving that's overflowing from our hearts. When can I go to the house of the Lord is rather the question than, do I have to go? Stupid. No, when we have to go to church, it's like, praise the Lord, we get to go to the house of the Lord. We get to be with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And the challenge of devotion, it really betrays our hearts, doesn't it? Because what we're going to see is that we're actually excellent at expressing devotion. We have no problem with devotion. It's whether that devotion is inclined towards the Lord Jesus Christ or not. Our scripture today is in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 to 6, and we have the words on the screen if you don't have your Bibles with you. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Lord, we thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Making sure that's our first slide. The first point that I just want to bring today is that we need to understand that it's about devoting ourselves. Devotion is a personal matter. There used to be an understanding back in the day that the pastor, the minister, the clergyman, the priest did everything. And basically, you know, they were kind of given the role of doing the spiritual stuff, so we didn't have to. But then we started our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We became born again. We walked into the community of faith. We became part of the living, breathing house of God. And we realized that actually, when we read the New Testament, that God calls his followers priests and royal priests. And then we kind of go, wow, I just thought that was that person's job. And then we realize, actually, no, we've all got the job. Jesus has qualified us all to be priests because he's the great high priest, and in him we also become priests. And then we're kind of going, wow, so even though I mightn't be in a platform or I mightn't have a job in a church, I am my priest in my office, in the back of the truck, in the building site, wherever it is, the schoolyard. I'm the priest here, and we all understand that we have been called to minister on behalf of the Lord. And so we are people of devotion. But the challenge, and we don't really like this because we like to keep stuff off us. So if your man who's employed by the church does the stuff I don't have to, then there's no responsibility on me. We love kind of giving away anything to do with devotion to God. But Paul is saying to the people in Colossae, he's saying, devote yourself. Devote yourself. He's putting the responsibility back on them. Devotion isn't something that I'm going to do for you. Devotion isn't something that the church is going to do for you. Devote yourself. Amen? So we're speaking to self today. I'm speaking to myself today. I'm saying, self, it's time to get more devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Devote yourself. Devotion is giving a great deal of time and energy, love and loyalty to something or someone. So according to this definition, every single person in this place gets an A+ in devotion. Well done. Well done. You guys are incredible. Let me explain how brilliant you are at showing devotion. We give a great deal of time and energy to many things, to many people. We are devoted to our families. Maybe that's what your devotion is, the main focus of your heart. We are devoted to particular singers, bands, film stars. We are devoted to the gym, to jogging. Some joggers are so devoted that their spouses are called marathon widows or widowers. Amen. They're so devoted. It's like they never see each other. I remember you. We got married one time. Yeah, I'm out jogging every day. They're devoted to box sets and podcasts. People living for the next episode. In fact, sometimes that's such an addiction that people will even go through the whole night without sleeping. Such is their devotion to the next episode. We're devoted to our football teams and to our sports teams. We're devoted to our hobbies and our special interests. We find time, we find energy. They get our loyalty, they get our love, they get our care. We are brilliant at devotion. So there's not anyone in this place that can leave this place going, I just don't know how to be devoted. You're devoted to loads of stuff. In the old words from the song Grease, we're hopelessly devoted. Hopelessly devoted to certain things. These are the things and the people that we love and care about. The things that we say to ourselves deserve our time. Don't you see that whatever we choose and whatever we give our loyalty to and our love to and we give our care to, we are saying with a loudspeaker from our heart, you are deserving of my time. You're deserving of my attention. Wow, we are so good at devotion. The common denominator in the full list of things I've spoken about, podcasts, television programs, football teams, hobbies, whatever it is you're devoted to, the common denominator is that we have all committed ourselves to this devotion. No one made you watch that program. No one made you go to the gym. Well, maybe your wife did. If you're Sean Mullarkey. If you're Sean Mullarkey, get out there to the gym. Yeah. Now, nobody makes us. We choose to get stuck into the things that we're devoted to. We've freely chosen them. Freely chosen. And some things that we're devoted to are quite expensive. Like if you're devoted to going to live gigs. Like it's hard to get a ticket for under 100 euro these days. Amen. But my loyalty is worthy of the cost. My loyalty is worthy of the cost. And so devotion doesn't even care really about the cost because I'm devoted and I love you and I'm loyal to you. We've committed ourselves to this devotion. Nobody made us love or care for these things. We devoted ourselves. We chose ourselves. We turned up ourselves. Our choices and our hearts express what we are devoted to. Paul says, devote yourself. Devote yourself. Only you, only you, only you, only you can show your devotion. Only you can show your love. Only you can show your loyalty to... dot, dot, dot. What is it that you're showing your love and care and loyalty to? What is it that you're pouring your energy, time and money into? What is it that excites your heart and get you going and you can't wait to get there? What is it that is the devotion of your heart and your life? Is it Jesus? Is it Jesus? You see, again, devotion, I can't do it for you. Your mammy can't do it for you. The church can't do it for you. Devotion is, as Paul said to the church in Colossae, devote yourself. Devote yourself. And so we devote ourselves. Can you devote yourself to Jesus and the things of God, like prayer and watchfulness and reading the Word of God? Can you and I show gratitude and give thanks to God and expressing our devotions that we're people of grateful devotion, not people just turning up, just giving God the debris of our life, the last bit of energy, the last bit of our souls after being blessed and enjoying other things we're devoted to, that we can't, oh yeah, I have to pray. Oh, I have to read the Bible. Oh, after Sunday, I have to go to church. Like, imagine being the Father in heaven and being the recipient of that devotion. Oh, Sunday. Oh, gosh. Do you know what? If I go into the first service, I'll get a quick lunch, get into 49A, get a quick Chinese. I'll be back for the start of the match. And so we have great things that we're devoted to. I just pray and ask that we are devoting ourselves to Jesus, to the King of Kings, to the one who is worthy of true devotion, the one who is truly worthy of grateful devotion, because he's the one that died in our place and the one that we can be excited about as we devote our lives and our way to him. Devote yourself is the first challenge today. The great thing about devotion is that it's got a destination. The devotion that God calls us to and the devotion that we're challenged in, it has a destination and it has a direction. It's not directionless. There's not an end to our journey. We all get to devote ourselves to, and we know what that to is in the things that we're devoted to. There's someone or something that we are devoted to. One of the best ways that we can show our devotion to God is by being devoted to purpose. And when you read the extent of this letter, the fullness of this letter, to the church in Colossae, when you read this letter, you can see Paul encouraging them towards a devotion that is a doing devotion. Not a doing to get into heaven, a doing that flows from a grateful heart. Amen? Massive, massive, massive difference. A doing because you feel you have to do to get into heaven, that leads to duty, legalism, striving, miserable Christianity. Oh, Lord, I'll never get to the standard. But a doing from a sense of gratitude that Jesus Christ has finished the work that we are now in because of his finished work, that we are now king's kids, we're now priests, amen, that we are now, hallelujah, born again into a kingdom of life. That sort of gratitude inspires a devotion that leads to action. Amen, amen. And it leads to quality action. It's not just, you know, kind of throwing a dart at a dartboard, hoping it hits. It's purposeful. It's directional. It's something that we go, Lord, I can give my life to this. I was made for this. I can give my skills to this. I can give my gifts to this. When you gratefully devote yourself to God, then you devote yourself to the things that please God. I'm going to say that again. That challenged me when I even wrote it. When you gratefully devote yourself to God, then you devote yourself to the things that please God. Just think of the things that you're devoted to right now. We're not going to do kind of the guilt trip, and we're not going to do condemnation, and we're not going to say, you know, chuck your telly into the back garden and never go to the gym, because that would be silly. But what we are saying is, your devotion, just examine it now. Are the things that you're devoted to things that are pleasing to the Lord? We all understand that rest and relaxation is something that the Lord asks of us as well, so that we don't have nervous breakdowns. So that's a good thing that we have as part of our devotion. We know how to enter into his rest, how to have fun, how to enjoy people, how to enjoy God, absolutely. But there's so much more to the depth of devotion that the Lord is calling us to. And Paul mentions some things here in this scripture. He's talking about prayer and watchfulness. That we would be devoted so that we can be pray and we can be watchful. There are two great devotional things to do as believers. You read the rest of the letter and he's encouraging them to preach and teach and to get out there and to spread the word of the Lord God. He is encouraging them towards evangelism and to intercession. He is encouraging them towards service and helping others. These are the things that please God. And it's so lovely as we come up to the hamper season. You know, when you look at the New Testament, it's consistently telling us never to forget the poor, to always be found where the poor are, and to be an advocate for the poor, and to be someone serving the poor and helping the poor. You see, ours is not a silent devotion, nor is it idle devotion. No, Christianity is a determined, diligent, dynamic, eager, energetic, engaged, enthusiastic, forceful, intense, keen, lively, quick, ready, and resolute devotion to the Lord. Could those words describe your and my devotion to God? Amen. Paul is so devoted to Jesus that he pours out his life, he pours out his time, his energy, his love and his gifts on behalf of the Lord, on behalf of the mission of the Lord. And he is so grateful to do so. He feels privileged to serve the Lord. He feels privileged to serve the Lord. I'm going to say that again. He feels privileged to serve the Lord. He is so grateful. He is so thankful. Is the disconnect between our gratitude and our devotion? Does our devotion feel so heavy and clunky because we're no longer grateful? Oh yeah, I heard about him dying on the cross 20 years ago. Yeah, any other news? Jesus died on the cross is the eternal good news. That's as good as it gets. That's as good as it gets. Him dying on the cross, taking our place, is the amazing news. How blessed are we? And so feeling so privileged and feeling so gratefully devoted to the Lord, Paul never wants to let Jesus down. We read in the scripture, he never wanted to miss an opportunity. Make the most of every opportunity. He never wanted to badly express the message of Christ. He always wanted it to be clear. And he asked people to pray that when he gave the message, it would be clear to the listeners. He never wanted to have a sense of just taking things for granted or just doing shoddy work. So he devoted himself on purpose to purpose on behalf of Jesus and the gospel. He devotes himself to quality doing. He devotes himself to quality doing. We are about to devote ourselves to quality shopping. We are about to enter into a month of quality shopping. We are going to be devoted to shopping. Honest to the good Lord, if it could get you to heaven, we'd all be there tomorrow. Quality shopping. It's Amazon, on the street. Quality products, quality gifts. We know what quality is all about. Wouldn't it be great to examine our hearts to see if our hearts are full of quality devotion, full of quality doing on behalf of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? He devotes himself to being a quality doer. This is not, and again, I'm going to say this with a loudspeaker. It's amazing sometimes what people hear. This is not legalistic slavery. This is not doing out of duty. This is not doing out of pleasing a pastor giving a message. This is not purpose with a grumbling heart. No, this is doing with joy because you love the Savior. This is purpose with gratitude because you're so grateful for the cross and the finished work of the cross. This is work that you consider a privilege because very few people get to serve a king. Very few people get to serve a king. And this is service with a smile. Amen. Not service with a scary face. Amen. Not service with an unapproachable face. This is service with a smile. Lord Jesus, may we be fully devoted to you and your purposes. And then the last point before we gather for communion. The challenge and the example of Paul just blows me away. We should be people of grateful devotion no matter what's going on in our lives and what's going on in the world. Because when you read this letter, you realize that Paul wrote this letter from prison. Paul is writing this letter from prison in Rome. As he awaits his trial, he is remaining devoted to Jesus, devoted to the cause, devoted to the message, and so much so, he's now writing letters to churches to encourage them to stay devoted. And not just that he's devoted, that would be inspirational enough, but he's full of gratitude. He's full of gratitude. He has grateful devotion. In spite of his chains, in spite of his challenges, in spite of change, there's another topic for another Sunday. We're all great with change. When you read this letter and you realize that Paul is under house arrest, not knowing his fate, it is incredible to see the amount of time he mentions gratitude and thankfulness when you read this letter. He opens the letter to the church in Colossae with gratitude. He said in Colossians 1 verse 3, "We always thank God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you because we've heard of your faith in Christ." Then he goes on to verse 10, "May you live a life worthy of the Lord. Amen." And then in verse 12, he describes what that looks like, giving joyful thanks to the Father always, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. Praise the Lord. Joyful thanks. Like, you're in prison, Paul. Don't get carried away. Like, if you just put down the word thanks, we'd be inspired. No. This man wants joyful thanks. Amen. Joyful thanks. He may be in chains, but he's got the joy of the Lord, which is his strength. Amen. What's your strength today? Sorry, I keep going. Paul continues with the gospel in chapter 2 and verse 6. He says, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as your Lord, continue to live your lives for him and in him, rooted and built up in Christ, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." Paul, if you just mentioned thanks, we would have been inspired. You're in chains, man. You're awaiting trial. You might be killed. He was killed. You might be killed. Thanks. Joyful thanks. Amen. Now you're saying that we should be overflowing, erupting, exploding with thankfulness. Paul, what have you to be thankful for? Jesus Christ. What have any of us got to be thankful for? The common denominator in this room today is that we're all followers of Christ. And if you're not, you can be by the end of this service. But what binds us together is that we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Amen. We believe in the finished work of the cross. We believe that Jesus rose from the dead. We believe that he ascended on high, where he sits at the right hand of the Father, ever interceding on our behalf. He stands before the Lord as a great high priest, as not just a great high priest who is administrating our passage to heaven, but also as the sacrifice of the great high priest, as the great Lamb of God. He is perfect in all of his ways. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. That's who he's grateful for. And his gratitude and his devotion to Jesus is so strong that you can put him in a prison and he'd still give thanks. And he'd still have joyful thanks. And then he'd go to overflowing thanks because he's devoted. I honestly believe that one of the reasons that we don't have joy in the house of the Lord anymore and joy in temples of the Spirit anymore is that we've forgotten how to be devoted. We have forgotten what it means to be devoted to Jesus. We hardly know what it looks like. Oh, we've no problem with devotion to anything else deserving of our attention, our time. We would be devoted to scrolling through reels more than reading our Bibles. Give me a phone, give me a tablet, I will use my little finger till the cows come home. Woo! Devotion. Hours. And whatever you do, don't put a man on the toilet seat with a phone. 6 hours, honestly. Legs will be numb, he can't walk. He'll have to pray for healing of his legs. We show incredible devotion. We're giving time to so much stuff. It's not a time issue. It's not an energy issue. It's not a loyalty issue. It's not a love issue. It's not a care issue. Because we're showing great loyalty to so many things. It's a self issue. It's a heart issue. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you are called to peace and be thankful. What I'm reading is from chapter 3. When I was a kid and I used to play in a football team, one of the dreams was to score a hat-trick. 3 goals in a match. I only managed to do it once in my life. I'm sorry for letting you down. But in chapter 3, we see Paul doing an amazing thing. He scores a hat-trick. In 3 verses, he mentions thankfulness in those 3 verses. He scores a hat-trick of gratitude. Verse 15 of chapter 3, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body you were called to peace and always be thankful. Next verse, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Next verse, and whatever you do, whether you're cutting the biggest deal that will make you a millionaire or you've been asked by your mother to do the dishes, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, always giving thanks to God the Father through him. God just is looking for people who are devoted and not dutifully devoted, not legalistically devoted, but people who are just gratefully devoted. I get to do this, Lord. I get to be free. I get to have peace of mind. I get to have purpose. I get to know where I'm going when I take my last breath. I get to have the protection of the Most High, the covering of the King of Kings. I get to have an intimate relationship in the Holy of Holies with He that no human could ever approach. I get to be forgiven my sins. I get to receive the blood of the Lamb to cover my sin, past, present, and future. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I get to be filled with power. I get to be filled with the Spirit of God. I get to receive the words of life through reading the Word of God. I get to be part of the community of saints by being part of a church. I get to do the things of God on earth, praying, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. What an adventure! And so we have grateful devotion. Grateful devotion. What does your devotion look like today? Not again from a condemnatory standpoint, just from a, is there anything that we could improve this week? Is there anything that we could do better? Is there more time that we could maybe sit in silent adoration? Is there time that we could maybe sit with the Bible? Is there time that we could sit maybe talking to God? Because when you're devoted to someone, you talk to them. Is there maybe just somewhere that we could improve this week just to express our gratitude? And that gratitude will pour out of our lives looking like devotion. Can you just hold your emblems? Don't open them yet. Just hold them, because we just want to give thanks for what they represent. Would you mind just holding them in a way that looks like you're cherishing what they represent? Can you just hold them like this for a second? You don't have to open them yet, guys. You don't have to open them yet. I'm just saying to hold it like this, unopened. Father God, we just want to express to you that we cherish what these emblems represent. They express a sacrifice far greater than anyone would, could have ever expressed or done. God, we don't take it for granted. We're not just doing communion now because it's the next part of the service. We're doing it as an overflowing expression of gratitude. And we're remembering what you've done for us and won for us. So God, we just want to thank you so much for these emblems, Lord God. The bread, Lord God, which will remind us of the body that was broken, Lord God, and the little drink that's going to remind us of the blood that was spilt. Lord, this body was broken and this blood was spilt so we could have access to you and we could actually become devoted. So God, today we don't see devotion as a duty. We see it as a privilege. And we don't see devotion as something that we have to do, but something that we get to do because we're free. And we don't see devotional God as something, Lord Jesus, that has everything to do with doing to impress you. Lord God, we see it as doing because we're so impressed with you. And so, God, we just want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for this bread and for this cup. For I received from the Lord what I passed on to you. The Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, "This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Amen. The Lord bless you. Let's take the bread in Jesus' name. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat the bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." Lord, thank you for this cup that represents the blood that was shed for us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Let's take the cup.
We hope that you've been blessed by this message. If you would like to connect further with St. Mark's City, go to stmarks.ie. Have an incredible day. God bless you.